Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio the citizen lobbyist. Welcome, citizen lobbyist.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I am doing well today. I'm sort of recovered from what wasn't a very long borough assembly meeting, but it was, 2 hours.
Got off to a good start, though.
Oh, yeah. If only every meeting could begin that way. I think there might be hope.
So we probably should let listeners know how it started.
Right.
It actually had the Palmer Jazz Choir there.
Yep.
To sing at the beginning, right before the assembly started, and then the national anthem. And they just did a wonderful, wonderful job. If people didn't get a chance to hear them at any point, that is really a great opportunity. They are just a great group of kids. They have to audition to be in it. There's a lot of people that try to get in that choir, and they end up with some really talented, fun kids that you can tell are having a great, great time doing what they're doing. So,
and I was
great
struck,
way to start the meeting.
Yeah, and I was struck by watching the audience as they were listening to the people, and the kind of look on their face that brought on in part because some of the music comes from a traditional collection of holiday music, but also just looking at people as you're describing them that were happy doing what they were doing, or so it seemed.
Yeah, and they put their own spin on all the songs.
Yes.
You're clearly having a good time doing it. So it was a great start to kick off the assembly meeting. It was sort of a short agenda, and they had short amount of people at the table. For the second meeting in a row, George McKee was not there, nor was Mr. Culligan from the Wasilla area. And Mr. Beck had to leave early because one of his kids was performing at a holiday event that the choir was headed to at 7. But he stayed and got it off to a roll anyway and got through the manager's report.
And, of course, that was an important factor to remember when you have four members of the assembly plus the mayor there. There were concern expressed when you're voting on some things. And so they did pass some stuff and then they delayed some stuff and in part because they're shorthanded.
Right.
Where do we start?
Well, let's start with where they started, which was with the agency reports. They had Mayor Cottle was there, as he always is, from the city of Wasilla, gave a report, talked about the Christmas dinner coming up and some events that Wasilla's involved in. Nate Wallace from the city of Palmer, now that the city of Palmer has put their budget to bed, so to speak, he's got some time and doesn't have the conflict of the same night. So he was there. It's always good to see Nate. He talked about, I thought this was interesting, that they're going to replace 150 more streetlights over and above, I think it's three times what they've already replaced, because they're saving them so much money.
That's right.
That they'll be paid for in 3 years. So that is really great. Kudos to Mr. Wallace and the rest of Palmer Public Works. They've done a great job decorating downtown. It was really quite festive for Colony Christmas, and it just puts a smile on your face every time you walk down here, particularly at night when everything is lit up. So he talks about that and a great turnout for Colony Christmas and some work on the airport that's progressing. And, of course, they did pass a bond at the last election, so they'll be doing some more work that the taxpayers have allowed them to do on their septic system, wastewater.
Right, that whole thing.
So they... good little report there. And then they went on to have a report from a gal from the Great Land Trust from South Central Alaska came in to talk to them about a project that they are going to hope to be doing with settlers out in Settlers Bay to preserve some land for the people out there. So they'll have some green space and some trails and some preserve some recreational opportunities out there.
And the interesting thing about that is that if anyone has driven out that way, that you seem to drive a long way and you look around and you say, yes, there's, wow, look at all those buildings
about
going
12
on.
12 miles out there, I think.
But there's still a lot of land out here. And yet,
and there's a lot of homes going on.
Right. If you don't take care of it now, it becomes harder.
Right. So their mission is conserving and stewarding lands and waters essential to the quality of life and economic health of Alaskans. And so that's what they try to do. They actually raise money for funding to buy parcels to reserve and what they call conservation easements They get everything all tidied up with the owners. They are paid, the people that relinquish it, but it stays in a conservation easement, and they will eventually, as they did with the when they bought the top of the Butte, which was their last big, I guess, high-profile conservation easement they did, they'll turn the property actually over to the borough to hold. It won't be developable, but it can be for parks, and trails can be developed in there, and as I said, for recreational purposes. So it takes care of the habitat. It develops a nice public-private partnership with a good, solid nonprofit that has shown a record of doing a really good job here in the valley. And so, yeah, one of their priorities is happiness. I think that's a pretty good priority these days in view of a pretty rough 2016 for a lot of people.
That is true.
That was a good start on that. They didn't have a lot. They didn't have any committee reports. They didn't have a joint. They haven't had a joint assembly and school board committee meeting this month. They didn't have any public relations. So then they went right into the manager's report. And the managers talked a little bit about this $75 million, what they call fast lane grant that he has applied for after going to Washington, D.C. with Assemblyman Mayfield and Klawocki on how they get to the $125 that is needed, $1 million, to finish the rail project.
Right.
So they have put in this fast lane grant. They're going to continue to... he thinks it's a very competitive grant. He's very clear about that. He says, but we have 2/3 of the project done. A lot of projects aren't done. So they feel that they have an upper hand on that. A lot of the environmental work is done, and a lot of the other barriers that would be done to finish it. So they're hopeful that they might be able to secure that. And then Jim Sykes says, so what if that comes in? We're still about $50 million short to finish this.
Right.
And they said, well, they were going to continue to apply for TIFIA grant loans and, other opportunities, public-private partnerships to finish the line. There's been some talk of even the Canadian line hooking into it. So I think they're trying to get what they can get done at this point, recognizing that the state's not going to help them anymore, even though they've put a lot of money up to this point in that project.
That's true.
And then they had a report from the Board of Fisheries.
Oh, yes. And that was interesting, too. And it also involved Patty.
Patty Sullivan. Yep. She has talked about the Board of Fisheries, which is a really big deal, kind of flies low on the radar of people. But it's the state Board of Fisheries. It is appointed. Members are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the legislature. And they figure out exactly how the fish are going to be fished out of our state, where the commercial fisheries are going to go, how far they are allowed to go into shore, out of shore, hopefully they use some science to figure that out. It's been about 3 or 4 years, I think, maybe longer, maybe 6 years since we've actually had our own commission on fisheries with the borough. We have two assembly members sitting on it.
I remember there
Mr. Culligan and Mr. Sykes sit on it. And they've got really some amazing, talented people that sit on that, people that have long history in fish and game and fish biology. Patty was asked to figure out what to explain to the crowd, you know, exactly who sits on that board. Again, volunteers come through because there are a volunteer board, but they do an enormous amount of work. And they're about ready to have their statewide Board of Fisheries meeting, which will be what they say the Super Bowl of fishery meetings, and ironically, it's over Super Bowl weekend in Anchorage, and it really is kind of a fascinating thing. So they were getting the heads up. They've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, kind of making a case, because it matters how they determine where fish go. We've seen our runs kind of peak and ebb here in Matsu. So that was, I thought, pretty interesting little report.
Oh, and they waited. They were looking forward to Patty being able to explain this, because she's taken the lead, as you pointed out earlier. She did a pretty good job.
She's done it for a couple of years now. Clerk just talked to them about a whole bunch of meetings that they have coming up, and maybe there was a way to consolidate some of these meetings, which they have indeed told her to do. So she gave them their upcoming. They won't meet again until January 10th. which became a very important date, as which you said, Mike, when they started picking up legislation to talk about. They kicked a couple things down the road. The first thing that was kicked down the road was a ordinance having to do with marijuana and a little loophole that people have probably read about that's been in the paper up in the Talkeetna area.
Right.
But as it turns out, didn't get properly noticed. It was noticed on the borough website, but when it went to print, it wasn't noticed particularly
and
right.
That produced some anguished looks and in
words. There was
and
quite
words.
A few people there.
Yeah, because I've reflected upon this over time, and what it means is that essentially was a technical error. The intention was to notice it properly. Yep. It was not. The clerk noticed that it hadn't been noticed, and she said, well, we can't do this.
Yep, she did a nice job of that.
But
she gave him options.
Yes.
And the option was, and noticing that a lot of people have driven down from the Talkeetna area, which is right now facing this little loophole error, so to speak, they went ahead and opened it up for public participation sort of early.
Right.
Not particularly on that, but you could tell which way they were headed. And quite a few people testified about it, had strong feelings both against closing the loophole and leaving it open.
There was that part of it. And I think the other aspect that is still hanging out there is the real question, as the mayor had suggested. I think he has made it clear in previous statements as well. He looks at this and says, okay, the state has done all this work. Why would we try to do
micromanage the work?
Yes. Let the state guidelines for getting licenses and et cetera obtain. And if we want to play with a little bit of this, we can do that. And I think that was some of what I was hearing from people who have testified to say, if you open the door to try to create all kinds of changes in what the state is suggesting, you're going to be at this for a long, long time. Yeah. And that's the concern.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's the two sides of the coin, so to speak. There's the people that have invested a lot of time in helping craft the regulation, have been following it closely, have had their business plan sort of held hostage to the final outcome of a lot of people making this decision. So they, of course, want some business certainty, which that can be certainly acknowledged. On the other hand, the state passes a law in the broadest sense of the word, which means it sort of should work for everybody, but that doesn't mean it works well for everybody. In more urban, more concentrated, densely populated areas, it may not be as good. And I think that's why our laws, that's the way our Constitution is, that the state can pass a law, and then if the local entity that has the powers to do it, in this case we do because it's planning powers, can tighten it up to make it fit their community a little better. But we're on a very new highway here. We don't know what we don't know. And I think there is some validity to what the mayor is saying about, let's get the show on the road. There undoubtedly will have to be things addressed later, but we're kind of walking in circles here right now, trying to fix something we're not sure what needs to be fixed.
And I guess that's where I'm part of my concern, and I have a sense of concern as I watch people that have, in a good faith effort, both been participants in a committee, which has been working quite a while, and individual business people who have done their work. I guess last Tuesday night when we saw this, I'm saying, okay, people make mistakes of noticing and all the rest of it, but it was kind of a little bit of a salt thrown on a rash there to say, we'll take it up in January because we failed to do our job, essentially. And I guess from what I was observing, I'm seeing that you're right. This is a really complex thing, but I'm not sure that people are really saying, let's do this. you know, we've watched and we've talked about the assembly from time to time, putting things off for a while, et cetera. And I'm not sure
that the assembly is thinking, let's do this.
Well, I would like to, I'm thinking a lot of people say, let's go ahead and do this. I think the assembly is reluctant. I think there's an underlying reluctance to get in there and actually come up with something.
Well, I think you have to kind of go back and look at history too with this whole issue. It's been something that's been voted on and then re-voted on. There was a citizen initiative. There were individual initiatives in the cities themselves and there was a pretty serious campaign to throw everything out that had been done that failed in October. So it's been a lot of start and stop. I think the genesis of a lot of the problem was the prior mayor seating a 17-member board to do something. It was an unwieldy group of people. It was really, really hard for staff to contain it and to give them the information they wanted. And it's a brand new thing in Alaska. We can only model ourselves over what we know. We have some information of how it's gone well and how it's gone not so well in other communities. But as we know, things in Alaska are just a little different. So it has been a rocky road. I think the people that will benefit over this rocky road we're going down is people, you know, cities like Palmer that has taken a sit back and wait. And they'll have a moratorium for another year. The city of Wasilla will has a moratorium for a while. So I think they're going to see some of this, these growing pains, so to speak, work them way out, because there's going to be conflicts. There's going to be neighborhood conflicts. There's going to be, they'll have to figure out what the raise in crime is, what the raise in usage is, how it impacts our schools. I mean, it's a big thing and hard to put your arms around. So I think it's been a hard thing to do, a really hard part of governing.
And you, as you pointed out earlier, the actual delay on coming to any decision, given the only four members of the assembly
were
there.
That was the reasoning last night.
I mean, I think you could say, okay, even if it had been noticed and we began this process, the likelihood was that it would have been pushed off. Mm-hmm. So you have a full assembly to consider.
And it was something that wasn't added to their agenda until just lately. So people already had their plans and were gone. And, you know, in reality, it's 10 more days, or 15 more days, so to speak. So hopefully, I think they'll have their hand forced at it.
20 more days.
20? The 10th? Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Okay, right. Let's go on. What else was on that agenda?
So the other thing they pushed down the road was an ordinance had to do with a earth mineral extraction site in the Talkeetna area that was actually, it's around Christensen Lake. It's something that the borough owns, and they were trying to pass something to say, look, that's not compatible with the lake. We should just not even make it an extraction area, put it off the mark. It's just not open for gravel, so to speak.
Okay.
And that got kicked down the road, too, with the 4 vote. Mr. Mayfield had some concerns about it. Mr. Kwaki didn't seem to mind that it was kicked down the road to the 10th. I just don't think they had enough information on it at that point.
Right.
And
okay.
They needed a little more information on it. So other than that, Mike, I think they kind of breezed through the rest of this. There were some introductions and a lot of Merry Christmases.
Oh, yes. Well, except for one thing at the end of the meeting during the comment period, Mr. Sykes did raise a question, which I don't know. I don't have the exact time. I have to measure the time. And it might have taken 20 minutes to deal with a request that he had initially, an observation he was making about the need he felt for a earlier presentation of budget materials to the assembly, starting that early in January, rather than having it go to the manager and then later on somehow come to them. And it actually, I thought, okay, that's raising his comment about what he'd like to see and that they would talk about that at some other time. But as quick as you could say, it became a motion to
I think he was forced into that because the mayor was trying to shut him down, and he said, are you going to make a motion? And I think Mr. Sykes said, okay, am I either gonna, I'm not going to shut up, so I guess I better make a motion.
All right. And I think that was that was my concern, and I've expressed this other times, that the comment period at the end is a really unfortunate place to be making motions.
The precedent's been set a couple of assemblies back to do that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. But
done frequently now.
Yeah, but it's... What it does is it shortchanges people who might be there to observe, and you're not agenda. There's not an agenda on this. It's item. So, but in any case.
But it got kicked down the road, too.
Yes. Eventually it did.
Yeah.
So
what Mr. Sykes was trying to do is set up two sort of special meetings in January and February to hear from the departments a little bit more before they, about their needs, about their wants. Have some interaction with them before they went to the manager, and the manager crafted the budget and presented it to the assembly. He wanted an extra step in there. And so we'll see what they say the 10th. I think what's missing here, I think it may be time, and I'm kind of surprised Mr. Sykes hasn't brought this up, and he may be thinking about it. You know, Anchorage has a Citizens Budgetary Advisory Committee, and actually, they do some pretty good work, and they get a lot of the vetting out. They get a lot of, they work with staff and departments and that sort of thing to kind of help that extra stool, leg in the stool. So you've got the staff, the manager, and this budget advisory group, and they've got some pretty high caliber people on there. As last time I looked, I haven't looked at it lately, but we may just be at the growth period where they may want to have a budgetary committee. They don't have to have them all year long, but they just bring them together in January to work on the budget for the couple of 3 months and advise the manager.
And as you're talking about that, I was reflecting that the school district has found a way to get information out early on.
Well, they're
budgets.
Forced to.
Yeah.
They're forced to because they have to be the first one out the door with a budget. It's not that they want to, because they have very little information, but they're the first one that has to have a preliminary budget, because they have to have their budget to the state, to the borough by March 1st.
Sure.
So
I'm just talking about the process, though.
Yeah.
In other words, if you were to compare assembly members to school board members, how do the school board members get information? Is there a process over at the school district where school board members begin to get more of the kind of information that Mr. Sykes would like the assembly to get from the administration of the borough?
Well, I don't think so, because I think that it's a completely different animal. The borough, the school district hears from the head of finance that really presents them more often. I mean, not just once a year does he come and talk to him. He talks to him throughout the year about where the budget is. They're pretty up to date on where their deficits are.
Well, maybe.
What hole they have to hold. But every year is a new year. They have a new student count. They have new needs. They sometimes have new schools.
Yeah.
So it changes. So.
But what about either the manager and or the finance officer at the borough doing that kind of presentation along the way?
There's another good suggestion.
Because I don't remember hearing that in the same way.
They have changed people at the top of the helm in their finances. So maybe that will be next. And in all fairness, they have gone a lot more transparent with their budget. They have their budgets online now. I've been attending meetings for many, many years at the borough where there was absolutely nothing until the night the budget was presented. And then it was to fight for a copy. Now it's on the borough. The budget from last year is on the borough website. And Mr. Moosey does put it on the website as he's giving it to the borough what his proposed budget is. So lots more transparency, but as you said, room for improvement.
There's one item that did not get talked about, but I had an opportunity during a break to talk with the assistant borough manager. That was something left over from a meeting 2 weeks prior when a gentleman was complaining because of what he alleged was an action taken by the borough that delayed his refinancing. And that was not addressed directly. Apparently, it's still in process, et cetera. But the information I have is that basically once a LID begins, that information is available. And a financial institution may or may not want to use that.
Yep.
And when it's considering refinancing a property— But the borough does not put any liens on anything or anything of the sort. And the code action, apparently, that is required by the code was taken appropriately. We'll see if there is going to be any further discussion. The gentleman in question did not come back for this meeting. But
I imagine Mr. Hayes has.
It was left out there as kind of a question mark, mm-hmm. and I feel I've got to get a little more information. And perhaps there'll be even more that'll sort of tidy that up. So anyone who might have been left with a question, what is this story here?
We'll get so maybe answer. Next week you could ask Mr. Hayes, what's going on with the ferry and the...
Oh.
Well, you're on a roll here, Mike.
We are. Okay. Well, we've come to another the end of another edition of The Citizen Lobbyist. And in this case, it's coming just before Christmas.
Last one of the year, Mike.
So what are you going to say to all the people who listen?
Well, if anything, we learned anything this year is that we need to be involved locally, and that anybody who didn't think it was important what was going on with your school board or your borough, that's probably the most important thing for you. The rest is kind of static noise in the echo chamber. So I think there's going to be some opportunities this year from both the borough and the school district to get your voice heard a little better and participate. You have to show up because this is going to be a tough year. It's going to be a tough few years for Alaska. The pain is starting to show. The budget constraints are starting to show up here, and the legislature is going to need to hear from you. They didn't take any action last year. And they're going to have to take some action in the next year or two. So it's not time to sit home in your chair and not, it's great that you're listening, but you need to take that extra step and reach out to your elected officials and let them know what's on your mind.
Okay. And thank you. Thank you, Citizen Lobbyist. We'll be back in 2017. There we go.